إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, Bismillah ta'ala, we come to the last of the series on why do we need religion in this world, specifically why do we need Islam. The last one is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As I mentioned, the two things, the two parts of the kalima, La ilaha illallah refers to our aqidah, refers to ibadat, refers to huququllah, refers to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rights on us. The first and foremost of which is to worship no one other than Him, Jalla Jalaluhu. And the second part of the kalima, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, refers to our relationship with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we follow Him, that we believe in Him, that we believe Him, and that we follow Him. And this is the part of the kalima that also relates to the huquq al-ibad. It relates to how we live our life. La ilaha illallah has to do with belief. Muhammadur Rasulullah has to do with action, has to do with the acting on that belief. La ilaha illallah is to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made salah fard when He said aqimus salah. And Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to understand how to do this salah, where He said sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli alayhi salatu wa salam. So therefore, the importance of the sunnah gets reiterated as something which is the explanation of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a demonstration of how the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are to be followed in life. Without the sunnah, we do not have a guidance to how the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are to be followed in life. Therefore, the importance of the sunnah is critical and cardinal and fundamental and seminal to the understanding and even more importantly to the practice of Islam. Islam is the name of a practice, it is not the name of a theology or a philosophy. And therefore, if we cannot practice Islam or we will not practice Islam, then Islam will not benefit us even if we know Islam. Even if we have all the knowledge about Islam, the only benefit that can come from Islam is by following it, not by simply having that sterile knowledge in some part of your brain. So therefore, the sunnah is critical to the following of Islam, and this is what Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the belief in Him and believing Him, does for us. The other big thing it does is that it is through the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we are able to fulfill the purpose of our creation, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah said, I have not created the jinn and the insan, the jinn and the human beings, for anything other than my worship. The only way that we can fulfill the purpose of our creation as defined in this ayat is by following the sunnah of Rasulullah. And the reason for I say that is because anything that is done according to the sunnah of Muhammad becomes an act of ibadah. It becomes something that is rewardable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without the sunnah, we do not have this. So if I am eating my food, for example, Allah said, I have not created you for anything other than worship. The obvious question is, but worship, if I define worship as salah and dhikr of Allah and tilawat al-Quran and so on, all of that is fine, fasting. But what about my eating? What about my going to work, earning my living? What about my doing this or that work? What about my sleep time? What about the time that I use to fulfill the needs of my body? So obviously, I cannot be only doing ibadah all the time. Right. So then it means that this ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, cannot be followed, because we are saying that by definition, because of the way we have been created with our basic physical needs, then ibadah 24 hours is not possible. But Allah said, I created you for nothing other than ibadah. So if Allah created us only for ibadah, and then He made us in a way where ibadah is not possible, then it means Allah has contradicted Himself. Nauzubillah. Right? How is this possible? That's not our belief. If Allah gives an instruction, then this instruction, this order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obeyable. It is possible to do. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that instruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot give an instruction which is impossible to obey and then hold us accountable for that and say, why did you not obey? Because if Allah says you have to fly, right? How are you going to fly? Because we are not created to fly. So Allah did not tell us to fly. Whatever instruction which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us is possible to do. So therefore, if Allah said, I have created you only for the purpose of my ibadah, then technically speaking, it should be possible to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24 hours of the day, day and night, from the time we are born to the time we die. This should be possible. So how is it possible? It is possible only in one way, which is to do everything we do according to the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we do everything that we do according to the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then every action of ours becomes an action which is rewardable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means it's an action of ibadah. And this extends to every single thing that we do in our lives. Every single thing. Provided we do it according to the sunnah. When we do it according to the sunnah, automatically it becomes halal, because there is no sunnah which is haram. So if you are going to look at any action and you say, I am doing this according to the sunnah, automatically it is halal, because that is part of your, part of being in accordance with the sunnah. Obviously that action is also beneficial, because all the actions of the sunnah are beneficial for us, and this action becomes an action of ibadah. Therefore, the sunnah is critically important for us to learn. What did Rasulullah ﷺ do, and to follow it in every aspect of our lives? The Sahaba understood this. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, they used to talk to each other and ask each other about how Nabi ﷺ did some things. The son of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radhiyallahu anhu says that our father used to gather us together and talk to us about the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? This is the first generation. This is the generation. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radhiyallahu anhu is an uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By relationship, he is one of his uncles. So the son of Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas is a cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They used to discuss the life of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't say, "Oh, but you see, he is my nephew." No. The Rasul of Allah is the Rasul of Allah. They treated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it was his right to be treated, as a Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fact that he was your uncle, or he was your cousin, or he was your nephew, or he was your husband, or whatever, that was not the issue. Sayyida Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, Sayyida Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu anha, they used to address him as Ya Rasulullah. This is your husband. This is your husband. Why don't you call him Ya Muhammad? Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Didn't they used to say Ya Rasulullah? Right? People close, Abbas bin Abdul Muttalib, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never called him Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said Ya Rasulullah. Ali bin Abi Talib radhiyallahu anhu, his cousin, he lived in his house. Even though he was his cousin, he was like his son, more than his cousin. This is the issue of the adab of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is why following the sunnah is so critically important, that we learn about the sunnah, we learn who is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we do not ignore the importance of the Nabi. There is no Islam without Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no Islam without the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very easy to understand this. If you remove the Sunnah, like I was saying in the class the other day, let us assume for the sake of argument, like some people try to say the Quran is enough for me. Okay, If you say the Quran is enough for you, then the Quran orders you to follow the Sunnah. I don't know how they deal with that contradiction. But anyway, remove the Sunnah from your life completely. Say, I will not follow any hadith. I do not follow the Sunnah. Okay, very nice. Now, a man comes to you and says, I want to enter Islam. I want to become Muslim. What must I do? What will you tell him? You can't tell him anything because you removed the Sunnah. Right? So, go look in the Quran to see how to enter Islam. A Muslim comes to you. I'm a born Muslim, right? So, I think I'm already in Islam. But I have not been practicing. I did not learn how to do Salah. I did not pray and so on. I don't know. Please teach me how to do Salah. How will you teach him? What will you teach him? Because you said there is no Sunnah. So, now how will you teach him Salah? He said, how many rakats should I pray in Maghrib? What will you tell him? Somebody comes and says, now time for Hajj, I would like to go for Hajj. What must I do there? What will you tell him? Because you removed the Sunnah. So, where are the arkan of Hajj? What we need to understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not finding fault with the Quran. Allah did not send His kalam, which is deficient. Allah said, Aqimu Salah, and then He didn't show how to do Salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you must fast. Then He did not say what breaks the fast. Allah said, did not say how to do Hajj. And then Allah did not tell us how to do Hajj. Allah said, pay zakat. And then Allah did not tell us how much zakat, what percentage, on what does it apply, what does it not apply. All of this is not there in the Quran. So therefore, what shall we say? The Quran is an incomplete book. It is deficient. It gives an order. It does not tell us how to do the order. Should we say this? Na'udhu Billah. Allah deliberately did this, which is that He gave the hukum in one place and He showed how this hukum is to be implemented and how it should be acted upon in another place, which is also wahi, which we call wahi ghair matlu, the wahi which is not recited, which is the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. You take these two together, you get the complete religion. Then there are no unanswered questions. You have a question, there is an answer, alhamdulillah. But if you remove that, and this is what shaitan does, you know, it addles your brains. You remove that and you say, the Quran is enough for me. What does it mean, the Quran is enough for you? If the Quran is enough for you, the same Quran said, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحِبِّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. The same Quran, this is the ayat of the Quran. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them who claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make my ittiba, not only obey, imitate me, emulate me in every single thing I do. Why? Same Quran. This is not, I'm not quoting hadith. It's Quran. Allah will forgive your sins and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving, most merciful. This is Quran. So, if you say the Quran is enough for you, then that one ayat is enough for you not only to follow the Sunnah, but to follow every single thing in the Sunnah. So, when you are saying the Quran is enough for you and you're not following the Sunnah, you are lying even with respect to what you are saying. Because how is the Quran enough for you? If you said the Quran is enough for me, then you must follow the Quran and the Quran says follow the Sunnah. But again, as I said, if you allow shaitan to occupy your brain, then obviously nothing can be done. We ask Allah to save us from this. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put the importance of the Sunnah, the importance and the muhabbat of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts, to fill our hearts with His noor and to enable us to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in every aspect of our lives and thereby fill our lives with the noor and barakah of Islam and with the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.